Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
We are continuing our Advent series, and today we're talking about, as you guessed from our reading, the Advent reading was great. Like, even like the description after, I feel like I don't have to get up and even talk. Like, they just like gave a whole message essentially. So thank you. Thank you guys for doing that. We're talking about peace. And we're big fans of peace. Everybody wants peace, and all kinds of peace. We want world peace. We want inner peace. We want peace at work. We want peace in our families. We want a piece of pie. We want like peace with our bodies, and we want peace amongst our siblings. We want peace everywhere we go. But have you ever noticed that we just aren't that good at it, right? We're not always the best at it. We're good at like playing the game of peace. We're really good at putting on that face, but I have met several people, but a majority of us, as we walk around, we don't embody that peace. Like, what we usually embody is, I gotta get stuff done. Like, with anxiety or feeling rushed that we have to get places, that there's never enough. We're always usually, we're saying, hey, how you doing? What's the most common answer outside of good, right? Good is like, what? I'm so busy. I'm so busy. Hey, can we get a cup of coffee? I don't know. I'm so busy. And that's just like kind of who we are. It's kind of our culture. But it's not like if we all want it, most of us are aware of what brings us peace. So it's not like I have no idea how to have inner peace. I don't know how I can actually achieve some sort of peace in my life. Like, if I asked you to like walk up here, write on a whiteboard of what actually brings you peace, like from just a little bit to like a huge, huge plate full of peace, most of us would be able to name at least one thing. Right? Like, maybe it's yoga, right? Maybe it's yoga. Maybe it's watching Dr. Phil. You just sit down and you're like, speak to me, my friend, all right? Maybe it's going out for a run. Maybe it's reading a book for just like 5 minutes. Maybe it's having 5 minutes without your kids asking you for screen time. Anybody? Anyone out there? All right? I am all alone. Thank you, all right? Like, hey, Dad, can I have screen time? All right? Like, peace, but it might be having a great meal. It might be sitting down and hanging out with one of your friends. If we're aware of what brings us peace, like or vacation. You ever been on the beach, somewhere warm in the winter, and you think, why can't life be like this? Right? Every time I'm somewhere warm, I'm like, well, I wish life could be like this. And the reality is that I can't be on vacation for a job. The American dream lives on, right? But why can't I experience that kind of peace? Why does that kind of rest feel so alien? Why is it that when I come back, I have to step into this, at times, feels like chaos? Like, am I deciding that? Or are other people deciding that for me? And why is vacation so life-giving? Why can't I experience that kind of rhythm, that kind of peace in my life? And the truth is, I can. But why don't we? If we're aware of what brings us peace, even just a little bit, why is it so difficult for us to add those kind of rhythms? The first one is that it's way too hard. It is significantly hard to change your rhythm, adding something else, because you feel like so much pressure, so much responsibility. And the truth is, it is expensive. It will cost you something significant to make those changes. The other reason that we do it, for a lot of us, is, yes, it's hard. Like, going on a diet might be hard, and if I could find some peace with my body, that would actually be really life-giving to me. But for another big lie that we buy into is, I'm not worth it. I hear this all the time. I'm not worth it. Like, why should I, like, work only 40 hours a week? I only get paid for 40, but I work 50. Why? Because that's how you advance. That's what everyone else does. So who am I? I don't deserve to do that. I'm a stay-at-home parent. I don't deserve to take an hour two times a week to go out and exercise. No. I don't do like really good stay-at-home parents like stay home and be resentful, right? There is this song that we sing that isn't always true. So either we feel like we don't deserve it, or it's too hard, or it's never going to be enough. This is just my life. This is as good as it will ever be. But one thing, the reason that we celebrate Advent, like part of like it's been set up, is so that we can actually pause. We can just chill out. Even if it's just for like a couple weeks before we celebrate Christmas, we can pause and we can reflect and we can actually hear the song. Because Christmas carols, full of peace, full of hope, full of joy, and we sing them over and over again and it feels right. There's something nostalgic. There's something life-giving about singing those songs. But in Advent, if we could pause and we might sing those songs, we might also hear the song that's louder. And the song that's louder, that runs through like that loop, that little hook that just gets stuck in your head over and over and over again, that song that we sing is work harder, be more, win more, accomplish more, produce more, 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 more. And that's the drumbeat that we follow so easily. Advent can just hit pause on that for a second, take a step back and think, is that what I really want? Is this how I want to spend my time? Is this how I want to spend my energy? Is this how I want to spend my money? Is this what I want my friendships to actually look like? And if we can pause and we can lean into, what if there's a different song? Where it says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Even what Nikki prayed at the end of singing that song, of that there might be this life-giving peace between us and God, us and one another, and us and ourselves. So today we're going to be actually looking at a song, and this is quite possibly, I feel like I might say this every single week. This is my favorite part of the Bible, right? But this one I really mean it. This time I really mean it, right? Is Mary's song. Mary sings this song that this guy named Tim Keller, this pastor and author, he said this is like the first worship song, like what he'd call Christian worship song, because she's singing about Jesus. And the song changes absolutely everything. How we view power, how we view life, how we view ourselves, of what we are grasping and clasping and running for. Mary, through the song, says, we're not playing that game anymore. There's a new song. So to my friends here and those who are listening on the podcast, if you are experiencing anxiety, if you are here and you're experiencing loneliness, if you are here and you're experiencing fear, because really, like, peace, we all want peace, and we work so hard at it, but the way we spend a lot of our time and energy on peace is giving off the appearance of peace, right? Like on Instagram, I'm going to take like 7 pictures of how relaxed I am, right? And if you don't get it right, then you're like, oh, what is wrong with me, right? That's not so peaceful, right? We spend so much time making sure that everyone else has peace, taking care of them. People ask you, hey, how's your day going? I saw on your Instagram account that you're really frustrated about your pictures, and we become the masters at turning the conversation off of ourselves and on to them, saying, well, I don't want to talk about me. How are you doing? Or if you're a parent, we spend a lot of time making sure that our kids experience joy and peace at all costs, right? You ever done this before? You will forgive your brother. You will apologize right now, and you will mean it. I want a deep, sincere apology now, right? And it always works. Always works. Kids are like, thanks, Dad. Your intensity is really helping me calm myself to enter into this life-giving conversation, all right? Or have you ever done this before? You tell your kids, like, you will enjoy this time, right? We've spent a lot of money on this vacation. You will laugh at everything, right? So if you're here, if you're here and you are tired, it's not even tired. You are sick of playing the game of peace. And maybe you tried, maybe you dabbled, maybe you've done the whole spiritual journey thing, maybe you've done it, and you're here, and you just, it's everything except peace. You are in great company, friends. As we sing, I'm not going to sing this song, right? That'd be a different time, right? As we read this song out of Luke 1, and if you want to follow along, we have Bibles in the back, you pull it up on your phone. If you're here and you experience other peace, hear these words as if it's the first time you've ever heard it, and let it speak something to your soul. Luke 1, starting verse 46, Mary, this is what she sings. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So this song is so jam-packed with beauty, theological discussions, and even theological questions of all these deep truths. We could spend many weeks just talking about all these little things she's talking about, but the way she starts the song matters. Because she doesn't start by saying, hey, I'm going to do some good things. I'm going to do some good things for that Jesus guy. She doesn't start by saying, you know, I'm going to make some small adjustments in my life and so I can like have a little bit more peace. She doesn't talk about what she's going to do. She talks about what has been changed. She talks about how her soul has been impacted, how her spirit has been transformed. You see, where we have to start to experience peace. Like spiritual people, Jesus-looking people in spiritual communities, we so easily are defined by all the things that we don't do, right? Like we don't do things, and we only do these things. We have these hard lines of what we don't do and what we do. And if you do the right things, then you get more points. But if you do the wrong things, you get less points, right? And at the end, you hope that you like it balances out and you fall on this side. And those are important. Right? It is important that we do good things. And the Bible gives us clear instructions of how we can live a good and beautiful life. So I'm not like negating that. But what I'm saying is where we have to start is we have to receive. Mary has this experience with the divine that goes deeper than I'm going to make some adjustments. It goes deeper than I'm going to just start saying the right words. It goes to like her innermost being and it awakens something deep within her. To the very core of her life. And everything else that she sings, we're going to talk about, comes from this inner transformation. The way we experience peace, the way we experience joy, how we even experience health itself has to be from the inside out. And where we so often live is thinking, if I can just change these things, then I'll experience peace. And Mary says, actually, it's a little bit different. If we want to experience peace, we have to receive. We have to receive. In my Advent readings this past week, one author talked on how the Christmas carol has shaped how we do Christmas more than the gospel itself. Because the Christmas carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, is how he has this transformation, this awakening of I don't want to hold on to things, I want to give it all away. And Jesus himself says it's better to give than to receive. But here, the way the Christmas story starts, the Christmas narrative, is Emmanuel. God with us. God steps into our reality. He steps into and contextualizes this whole divine, this whole like heaven itself steps into our everyday life. And so where it starts, and Mary gets it, is we have to receive it. You have to see it, and you have to receive it. So here's what I'd like to do before we move on, because Mary, the thing she's talking about, she has such confidence and peace that there is this good and beautiful God who sings a whole new song. But as I was taking time this morning, I thought, before we get into how we do that, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for those of us who just earlier talked about your experience of anxiety or fear or pain or lack of hope or lack of joy. If that's you, what I'm going to do is I pray. Like, I'm not going to watch you, all right? I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you run up here on stage. I'm going to ask that you just, for you, between you and the divine, you and God, to receive peace. And so whatever it is that thing that's causing you, robbing you of peace, I would encourage you just like dial in on it and ask God to come and put some peace, put himself deep within even to your soul. So let me pray for you. Let me pray for us. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And will you give us something good? Where we are experiencing fear, where we're experiencing a lack of hope, where we're experiencing anxiety, God, will you come and deposit in our soul, in our very spirit, the center of who we are, will you bring your kingdom? We bring heaven itself and let it sing a beautiful song that puts away, I must produce more, I must be more, I must weigh less, I must win more, I must accomplish more. We say no to those lies and let the truth that you are enough today for me. And I am enough for you. Bring your peace. Amen. All right, thanks for praying with me, guys. So the way Mary starts is that it transforms her spirit, transforms her soul. And then out of that, she starts laying how there's this new song, there's this different game, there's this different energy. And she starts by saying, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He's been mindful of the state of his servant. And it's easy when you think of Mary, since we know the whole story and maybe you've seen pictures and there's like, you have in your mind of, at least for me, it's like, oh, Mary is like this white European, you know, lady with beautiful, perfect hair. And she's either smiling or she looks like she's doing the eye roll. You've seen that picture where she's doing like this? She's looking at heaven, but kind of looks like an eye roll, right? I always think it's funny. So she's like, oh, brother. And we might think of that and saying, oh, Mary's like this, like she's in her mid-20s and she's got perfect skin and perfect hair and silent light. She gave birth and no one was crying. Everyone was just like, oh, such a precious moment. So that's not it how it goes at all. She was not European white. She was Middle Eastern. And she was, a lot of people agree that she's probably a teenager. And in this culture, all right, and she's pregnant. Forget, yeah, she's pregnant. At this point, she knows she's pregnant. And in that culture, if you were pregnant and not married, you fill in the gaps, all right? You could be killed. And that was like not like Roman culture. That was like the Jewish culture. They had it set up. If you were an adulterer, they could like stone you. They could throw stones at you and they just execute you because of your value was tied to like your family and the honor and to the culture. And so by going outside of that, you were a disgrace, not just to you, but also to your whole family and to your whole people. So she is saying of that you have been mindful of the humble state. And she sees it as something to be celebrated, something. She goes, I'll be blessed for generations and generations. But in the context of when she's singing this song, I imagine there's people like, hey, do you see Mary? You see what's going on with Mary? And walk and be like, Mary, is that a burrito baby? Right? Do you have a little, burrito going on? And she's like, no, you had the baby bump. Yeah, that's a baby. Right? And they're like, oh, so Joseph, huh? You're not married. She goes, oh, no. That guy? No. No, it's Yahweh. You know, Father Abraham and many sons, like his God, right? Our God. Remember, we talk about this all the time, like our God, yeah, he did this, that God did this, right? So don't worry. It's not Joseph. We're cool. Big fan of Joseph still. You know, we're getting married, but this is God's baby. I imagine that going over was just like, oh, that makes complete sense. What a rational explanation. Thank you. All right. I was wrong in all my judgments. I apologize. I'll delete all those tweets. Right? It's not. I imagine that her family and her friends and her people looked at her with scorn. Looked at her with absolute judgment. How dare you? Imagine she didn't get invited to like too many holiday parties. It was before there was a Christmas, so I guess there was none. That's a bad joke. I looked at Danielle's face as I said that. I'm like, that's a dumb joke. So thank you. I bet she was the talk of the town. But Mary has experienced something at her soul, at her very spirit, where she says, it doesn't matter. You can talk all you want. You can share and chant and post all you want. Nothing external, nothing you say or do is going to move the needle of that I am blessed. Why? Because I've seen the divine. I've experienced something that transcends, something that goes so much deeper than am I pleasing you? Am I making my family okay? Am I making sure that we're okay? She's like, I'm not playing that game anymore. I don't need, peace does not have to come just from other people. Validation does not need to come because I'm playing by all the rules, because I'm making everyone else happy. She has this peace, this rock solid confidence of saying, even if you take my very life, I am blessed. Why? Because there is a good God. There's a good God who has given me something good. And I'm going to say yes to him. And my validation, my worth, my purpose is all coming and is tied to him. It's tied to the divine. Not to anything else, not to anyone else. So what this means is that if you're here and you feel like God has called you to something, you feel like God has invited you in to be something, maybe called to even do something, you think, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could really do that. Like, we're going to be leading small groups again coming up in February. Like, I don't know, can I have people over to my house and actually lead a conversation, a life-giving conversation about the good and beautiful God? I don't know. People are going to think I'm one of those people. I don't know if I can have those conversations. I'm not like a professional. Whatever it might be, you can have this deep confidence that when God invites us into something, it's going to be the best. It's going to be the best for you and even for those around you. That the way we grow is from the inside out. And Mary, even having this of being unwed and being pregnant, she does not look as being shameful or as a curse, but instead, it's a blessing. Peace and confidence comes from the inside and only from God. And because of that, Mary then can sing a whole new song. She sings a whole new song. Because the way that the world has seen validation, and even to this day, the way that you find your purpose, the way that you win, the way that you succeed, the way that people say, wow, you are really great at, is by winning more, accomplishing more. And she says, that's great, go for it. If you want to play that game, go for it. But there's a whole new song being sung. Because in there, she says, he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Then she goes, and now the poor shall be lifted up, the hungry shall be fed, the rich and the rulers, or you might call like the beautiful people, however you describe that, will be brought down. And they'll be sent away hungry. Meaning what? Meaning those who are down and out, those who feel like I'm on the outside edge, I'll never be like, I'll never achieve, I'll never have value, I'll always be seventh place. Why? Because I can't play the game like them. Because I don't drive that kind of car. I don't wear those kind of clothes. I don't have the same color of skin. I don't have as much money. My kids aren't as successful as, whatever it might be. She's saying that what God has done is that he's brought a whole new order of how we live life. If you're here and you feel like you're just counted out, I've talked with a lot of people just feeling like our marriage will never be great. They'll always just be like, good enough. That God has something more. He levels the playing field. If you hear and you are tired of playing that game, you're tired of singing that song, Mary says is level the playing field. And even I love the idea of like the hungry, their stomachs will be fed, and those who have come will be sent away hungry, meaning what? That like God is like, now since you were up here and you thought you had all the power, now I will destroy you. That's not what God is doing. Saying if that is how you are used to living life, this is where you've always found your power, you always found like your success, you always found your validation in winning or conquering, whatever it might be. Saying it's not going to work anymore. It's going to run out at some point. You ever been there before? Oh, this thing is going to be enough. I'll finally feel validated. I'll finally experience peace if this song exposes that lie. Like, fill in the blank. I will experience peace when, fill in the blank. I'll finally feel peace when I pay off all my debt. I'll finally feel peace when I meet my soulmate. I'll finally feel like validated when I get that promotion, when I get that job, I have that much money, I weigh this much, I have this many friends, I have this many followers. Like every single one of us, we look for validation, we look for life in all these different things. And what Mary's song is saying is you will find peace, not if, it's not when, it's you will find peace in a manger. You will find peace in the divine who stepped into your life, who, like last week we talked, we have a God who shows up. Where we find peace is by receiving from the divine, it's by receiving from God. And this is completely, it's, at least for me, it's very different. I have to remind myself of a peace that just simply doesn't make sense. Even we were talking earlier about shalom. The best description of shalom that I've heard is that peace is not in a lack of getting punched in the face. Peace is not a lack of people yelling at me, right? I'm a big fan of less of those things in my life as well, right? But peace isn't a lack of something. Shalom means it's the absolute fullness of something. It's like when you're a kid and you went to that cabin with your family, you went to that lake with your friends, and it's hot, and you finally said, you can go swimming, and you get out, and as you're running down the hill in the grass, like you're throwing off your shirt, and you get your swimsuits on, and you hit that dock, and hear that slap, 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 slap of, you know, your little feet hitting that dock, and you jump in the air, and when you hit in the water, and it feels so cool, and you open your eyes just for like a moment, and every square inch of your existence, every part of your being is being touched by the cool water. That's shalom. Is that you are engulfed in the fullness of God. You are at every part of your being, your soul, your body, your intellect, your dreams is being totally devoured, totally immersed in the kingdom of God. That's shalom. And that's a peace, when Paul says a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that it doesn't make any sense. In Psalm 23, at the very end, it talks about how he prepares a table for me in like at the gate of my enemy, sitting right in front of my enemy's stronghold. As they can throw arrows, they can do all those things and hear him taunting me. There's this picture of this God who says, and I have prepared a table for you. Sit down. Kick back. Have a drink. I made your favorite meal. And it's like, it's this picture of this God, of the divine saying, even though all these people are yelling, even though your deepest fears feel like they're right at your doorstep, I'm okay. I'm enough. I can meet all your needs. Shalom doesn't make any sense. This peace is different. And as Mary sings this song, as she talks about how all the power structures are changing, how all the ways that we've gone about trying to get validated and find life and purpose, there she has this deep peace at her soul saying, I'm okay. I'm not only just okay, I'm thriving. So how do we experience that? Like this Advent, how do we do it? Here's one practical way, is that each and every single one of us, we are really leaky. We're leaky. Maybe there was a time in your life you feel like you were nailing the peace. It's like you found a healthy rhythm. Maybe it was in college. Maybe it was in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s. And you had like, you found out how to eat well and it worked for you. Or maybe you were practicing exercising on a regular basis. And there was this pocket. Or you found this like way to connect with God through singing or through prayer or through reading. And it worked for you. You've been there? And all of a sudden, like 3 weeks later or an hour later, it doesn't work for you anymore. And maybe you beat yourself up about that, thinking, oh, what was wrong? What did I do wrong? It's that we're leaky people. You get filled up, you experience hope, you experience beauty, and then all of a sudden, it's like you're full of cracks and holes, and it's just going to like seep out. The way that we continue to grow, the way that we continue to evolve, the way we continue to experience peace is by going back to the source again and again and again and again. It's one of the reasons why we take time to sing. One of the ways we worship through singing is not just because it's like Christian karaoke, right? It's not just let's all stand up and sing all the same words, right? We do it because we are speaking to God what we love about him, and we're singing, we're hearing what he loves about us, to be filled up with his peace, be filled up with his spirit. It's why we encourage people to open up your Bible and read it. And read, like I've been talking a lot about Psalm 23 because it's something I've been reading over and over and over again. Because it brings life to me. It fills me back up because I know that first line, the Lord is my shepherd, I have no wants. I can feel great for a moment, then the next day I have a ton of wants, God. But going back to the divine, going back to God and filling yourself again and again, because peace happens from the inside out. Then we can go out and add those healthy rhythms. Then we can go out and achieve peace between me and my brother, or me and my sister, and me and myself, and me and God. But it starts by us seeing and receiving. So here's my invitation, friends. This Christmas, this Advent, as you start getting nervous, as you start feeling anxiety, like where's everyone going to sit? I hope no one goes in my laundry room, right? Like all those normal fears of like having people in your house. Yeah, I'm glad you guys are left. We're all the same, right? That's like you have a door in your laundry room and like five locks. Like, how's that conversation going to go? Will I have enough money? Will they like the presents? What's going to happen at the holiday party? What if I bump into this person? As you start feeling that anxiety, pause. Take a deep breath and allow yourself to be filled up. Allow yourself, like one thing that I use and you can steal because I stole it from someone else is this mantra. This thing that I repeat over and over and over when I start feeling stress is saying, today I'm enough for God and he's enough for me. When I do that, it recenters me back on that I could produce more, I could do some great things for God, and those will all be positive, but right now in this state, I'm enough for him, and he's enough for me. Let's stand, let's pray. I'm excited about celebrating Christmas Eve with you guys next week, and I hope that as we've talked through the hope, joy, and peace, I hope that moves beyond just a great idea, and I hope that you have been experiencing those things. You have been experiencing life-giving opportunities to connect with God. So I'm going to pray, and then when I'm done praying, we're going to invite you to come up and receive some prayer, and then we're going to worship for a little bit longer. Let's pray. So God, I just say thank you that this whole idea of experiencing hope, joy, and peace is possible because you're a God who shows up. You say in John 1, says, in him was life, in him was light, and it was a hope for the world. And so just even now, even for a moment, will you like bring that light to us? And let us experience joy, let us experience hope, and let us experience peace. Let us experience shalom, let us take that leap. I always have the faith that we jump into that water, that your peace will swallow up every single thing, my fears, my dreams, my relationships, my habits, that you'll bring restoration in life to every part of me. So shalom, we just receive shalom from you, Father. And as we walk through the hallways at school, as we show up at parties, as we go back to the mall, the difference of peace, the mall, as we even navigate through that, will we be peace bringers? That where we go, where we operate, what we do, that we will offer that same life-giving peace to our brother and our sister. We love you, God. Amen. If I could have the ministry team make their way up. If you're here, it's like what we spent the whole time talking about. You're here and you are experiencing anxiety. You are experiencing a lack of peace. And you might be very aware of what it is, or it might be undefined. The people up here are for you, and they would love to say a short prayer with you. Sometimes you just need a buddy. Sometimes you just need a friend to put their hand on you and say, God wants good things for you. So if you're experiencing that, at any point, come up and receive prayer. So thank you for coming to Vineyard, and we'll see you at 11 o'clock next Sunday.